Okay. Malachi, the third chapter, page 915. So tonight's teaching is really going to be on releasing your thanksgiving. Not being thankful. Releasing your thanksgiving. And it's going to be also the power of asking and witnessing. Malachi, the third chapter, page 915. No matter how old we are, he wants us to grow up. And you're not, I have a good client, she's 96 years old. She says, he's still asking me to grow up. She goes, Jesus Christ is 2,000 years old, I'm still a little twerp. Says, yeah, he's grow up. I'm a grown man. Yeah, don't tell that to him. Malachi, the third chapter, and I'll read this. Verse 16. It's really neat when you have the Rotherham in print, not the electronic version, because it can preserve it. You see the structure right here? Third chapter, Malachi, verse 16. Then they who revered Yahweh conversed with one another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard, and there was written a book of remembrance before him for them who revered Yahweh, for such as thought of his name. Therefore shall they be mine. What were they doing? They were talking about Yahweh. They're sitting around just like we do. And who is listening?
Yahweh.
Yeah, don't do it when you're really distracted. You just look like you're making crazy monkey faces at me. They were sitting around talking about Yahweh. And what else were they doing? They were writing down a book of remembrance. How many Christians have journals? You know he's watching you write these things down? Do you know that he's blessed? Sometimes we forget he sees everything we're doing. But he heard them talking about him. And the book of Malachi is really about a transformation. If you read the beginning, it's talking about people being refined like a silver and stuff. But here these believers are talking about Yahweh, one another, what he's done. And then they're writing it down and Yahweh heard it. Then it says, therefore, almost like, so he did this. Therefore shall they be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in the day for which I am preparing treasure. He's preparing treasures for them. And I will deal tenderly with them, just as a man dealeth tenderly with his own son who is serving him. So shall ye return and see the differences between the righteous and the lawless, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. He's talking about a treasure. Because they were witnessing, writing, and conversing, he heard, he was watching, and then he goes, because you're doing this, I'm going to do that. When we witness and we give our testimonies, he's listening. And every once in a while, you're going to want to give your testimony. You're going to go, they're not going to believe it. Maybe they won't believe it. We'll be hesitant. And the old man inside of us reminds him, say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what? If I was in this room and somebody started saying my big brother's not a good hunter, if I knew he was in the room, I would even more importantly stand up and say, that's garbage. When Yahweh and Jesus Christ are in the room. And like even with Yahweh's name, I haven't always said his name. But I'll see it in myself, even when I'm around people that they don't like his name. No, we're not going to say his name. And then all of a sudden, I'll stop saying his name because I don't want to offend them. Then all of a sudden, I'm going, I am offending somebody. Yeah. He loves his name. So I can either offend them who don't like his name, or if people didn't like Lisette's name, well, we don't like her name, we're just going to call her she. Yeah. You call her whatever you want to call her. That's fine. But if I'm offending you by calling her the name that she gave me to call her, well, that's between you and her. So, but I do the same thing. But he's listening. He's listening. Turn to Exodus, the third chapter, page 86. Isn't that neat? When we sit around, when we're doing this, especially in a small group, Francis and Lisette and I have had fellowship inside of a gym. And we're witnessing back and forth, and we don't know what's going on in this gym, but he does. And you could be witnessing to a tree. You could be cursing a plant, practicing the power. He told you to practice. And he's watching going, You can imagine you hear Yahweh, Jesus Christ, going, hey, look at Francis. Look at that. He's speaking to the dirt. Why do you think he's doing that?
Well, nobody else is watching. He's got to be doing it for us.
Wow. Then can you imagine going, what's on his wish list? Well, let's go to Francis' wish list. Francis wants this. Let's see here. Okay, let's get him something. We're watching what you're doing. We want to encourage it. And here's our perfect Father watching us do the right thing. And when we're witnessing, he's listening. Verse 86, we're bragging on him. We're talking about him. And actually, it says it right there in the third chapter of Malachi. It's just like John 3:16. It's easy one to remember. He's going to make a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Sometimes, do you feel like you're the only righteous person? He wants to make a difference. Open your mouth. Brag to him. Talk to him. The third chapter, verse 7, Exodus. Yahweh is in a thorn bush. It's not a burning bush. It's actually a thorn bush. It's the Hebrew word. So here's a burning thorn bush. Moses is pretty much having an argument with the bush. I can imagine him going, what? Ah! And turn around and walk away. They're not going to believe me. Ah, come on, man. You can just have this dialogue with this burning thorn bush. Man, isn't that neat? One of these days, we're going to get to watch that video. How cool is that going to be? To see his expressions and maybe, oh man, can you imagine imagine the look on Moses' face the first time he put his hand in and took it back out and he was all, ah! Here's y'all going to go, let's get a slow motion on Moses' face. Whoa! Anyways, we're going to get to see all this stuff. But in verse 7, Yahweh's speaking to Moses. Then said Yahweh, I have seen the humiliation of my people who are in Egypt and their outcry. Have I
heard
by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their pains. Is it a surprise to anybody that Yahweh sees everything? He specifically records things in here that he hears. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, that's page 7 in the New Testament. Why did he write that he heard this? I heard them. Could it be? Could it possibly have been that they were being tortured? That they're she keeps making a facial. She's pulling her lip down. Sorry, no. Could it be that they were being tortured, enslaved, and they weren't asking for help? Have you ever seen that? You're in a class, and are you asking for help? I don't need any help. All right, Dave. When you want some help, let me know. I don't need anybody. Could it have been that the people in Israel, were they not asking for help and he's waiting? Did he give us freedom of will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What's wrong with everything? Matthew chapter 8, that's page 7. Let me get there. Verse 10. Actually, we're going to 8 verse 5. Mom, would you read?
What?
8, chapter 8, 5 through 10, please.
And when he entered into Capernaum, there came near unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant is laid prostrate in the house, a paralytic, fearfully tortured. He saith unto him, I will come and cure him. But the centurion answering said, Lord, I am of no consideration that under my roof thou shouldest enter, but only say with a word, and healed shall be my servant. For I also am a man set under authority, having under myself soldiers. Excuse me. And I say unto this one, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now Yahushua hearing marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, with no one in Israel such faith as this have I found.
And so there were times, remember everything that's in the scriptures, I mean, in an accurate scripture, there's all poor translations. It's not the infallible word of God.
Yeah.
With certain translations, they change things, they paraphrase it. That's going to offend people. We don't like that. But the Rothschild is the closest thing we can get to the Hebrew and the Greek. Why did Yahweh record? He's writing an instruction manual to us. Did Jesus Christ know the Pharisees, the thoughts of their heart, when he said, "Your sins are forgiven," to one guy? Did he know their? Did he know what their thoughts were? He goes, "Why do you say? Yeah, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or take up your couch and walk?" He knew their heart. Mm-hmm. What does it say here? Jesus or Yehoshua heard. There's a big difference between knowing, seeing, and then hearing. What? There's only two things that made Jesus Christ marvel. This was the other one. The first one was the unbelief when he went back to Capernaum. Or was it Capernaum? I forgot. It was his hometown. And they wouldn't believe him. Because this is the carpenter's son. Isn't that his brother James? Oh yeah, he's really the Messiah there. That was one time he marveled because their unbelief. But then right here, the authority. When the centurion spoke, something happened and Yehoshua heard it. Yahweh in the book of Malachi heard his children. They're not in a good position in the book of Malachi. They're actually in a bad, bad position. And he goes, "I have heard you. Here I am." Yeah. It's on. I think about 911. Is 911 on call? Yeah, but if you don't call them, mm-hmm. And you can imagine, we live down the street from a fireman and a police officer. If something happened here and I didn't call, you'd be like, "What? Why did you call?" Well, you should have known, Aaron. You have to give me authority to come into your house. If you call a 911, I can kick in your door, but you got to give me authority. So there's something happens when we speak. But Yehoshua heard. Acts chapter 4 is page 12. No, it's not page 12. So, but it's Acts chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry, 123. Think about some of these things. When we look at these scriptures, is it important to a parent when a child has wronged another child for them to say you're sorry? No. You better say you're sorry right now. Mm. Yeah, you got about 5 seconds there. Or say thank you. No. Oh, you better release those words. Does that mean something to us?
Yeah.
How about if you're married or a roommate and they won't apologize? Admit you're wrong. Release those words. There's something we already know. Release those words. Let them go. It means something to us, to a kid or something. You can imagine somebody, even if somebody comes back, it doesn't change anything. They go, "Lisette, you were right. I was wrong. I was completely out of line." What does that change anything? Does it change any of the circumstances?
Yeah.
No, but it does change everything, though, doesn't it? Isn't that neat? How about a husband and a wife saying, "I love you," but in a way where he melts his heart to you? Or, "I'm sorry." You're going to go, "Oh, what did that do?" Yeah. There's something with our words, and our Father is teaching us through His Scriptures. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. So you can see above verse 23, the apostles triumphant. So great things are happening in the book of Acts, verse 33. Page 123, chapter 4, verse 33. "And with great power were the apostles giving forth their witness of the resurrection." Their witness. The Greek word here for witness, E.W. Bulger says, is their testimony. We are commanded to quote the scriptures. That is the sword of the Spirit. Speak it. Joshua 1:8 said, Yahweh told Joshua, he was taking, Israel was going to try to kill Moses. If Moses would have turned one wrong turn, Moses would have been dead. These guys were horrible. They were wicked. I mean, remember when the earth swallowed up like 3,000 of them? And so, yeah, it's a good thing Moses had a good bodyguard, right? Boy. Well, I heard one guy say, if it's you plus God is the majority. That's another good thing. But now here's Joshua, or Yahushua, is going to take over these same people. Oh, great. And Yahweh said, "Take my word, put it in your mouth, speak it day and night to yourself, then you'll make yourself prosperous. Put it in my mouth." And what right here, it said, and so we're supposed to take his word, speak it, but what were they giving in Acts 4? Their testimony. There is something that's very important. When you give your testimony, your victory, you just took second place.
Yeah.
You got called out. adversity. You got led into speaking in tongues before your appendectomy. She went into surgery. She said before that, can I tell them about the peace she had?
Yes.
She said all of her life, she said if she would have went to sleep, she would have known, she wasn't quite positive if she was going to be saved or not. Until we met, we got the leader in speaking in tongues, it was all divine intervention, and then she went in for surgery and she realized it was the first time in her life that she was not afraid. She knew that she was going to be there. And then the doctor said, one more day and you could have died. That's not a coincidence. Yeah. What just happened? There's power in the testimony. When you told me that, you released like a nuclear reactor or something. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the scripture. But if it is true, and we're testifying, who lives inside all of us? Have you ever seen with video games where you can link in as long as everybody's got the same Wi-Fi? Well, when we witness the truth, even if it sounds crazy, guess what happens to the Wi-Fi? Ding, 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 ding. Hey, everybody's on here. It's just like Clash of Clans. There's Isaiah. There's Wendy. Here it is. And the same witness. And guess what? Jesus Christ. And guess what happens? What happens every time you guys, we sit around and we witness? Do you get depressed?
No. Opposite.
Do you crawl under the covers? Oh, I'm not witnessing. I don't want to talk about these miracles anymore. Or do you get jacked up and fired up? I was talking to somebody, somebody was asking about my workouts, and I was like, I got the weirdest ministry ever, and I love it, it's perfect. I go into the gym to evangelize. I love it! I run in there, I get to work out, I get to yell, I get to grunt, I get to do all these weird things. It's like me grunting and lifting heavy weights and failing, probably 70% of the time. There's a lot of failure. And people in the gym go, why do you do that to yourself? That's embarrassing. I don't know. Why does a duck swim? I don't know. Why does a dog bark? Anyways, we're in there and we're talking about in the gym, and this person, a friend of mine up in New York, she was like, this gym membership, there's something about it. It makes no sense to me. But it made sense because Jesus Christ is inside her testifying. And I said, how was your workout? We're witnessing. And I said, well, Francis and I worked out. We trained. But Francis gave this incredible pre-workout prayer. Anybody who trains in the gym knows what pre-workout means, don't you? A pre-workout today is actually, it's like taking crack cocaine, you put it in a shaker bottle, and you go work out. I know, it's a lot of caffeine and stuff. But he did this prayer, and it was something to the effect, Father, you gave David strength to kill Goliath. Father, you gave David strength to kill a bear and a lion. Now give us strength to manifest your son inside of us. Here we are. And so he gave his pre-workout. And as I started doing that, I'm going, what happened? Even now, as I'm witnessing what happened there, what's happening inside you right now? The line of the tribe of Judah is inside us. And when we witness, we're feeding the new man. He gets stronger. And we witness, and for some reason, it is like a nuclear reactor. We read the Bible, read the Word, very important, there's no substitute, but then there's right alongside the testimonies and the witness. And we talk about deer hunting. We talk about appendectomies. We talk about the car with you and Amma. These things, what happens? We just saw all of a sudden something happens. And in Acts 4, what were they going out with great power? Giving their testimony. Appendectomy. Ocho Grande, deer hunt. Whatever. What's your testimonies? Go out, release it. And knowing, and even better is, if there's two of you going in. So like if it's me and Israel going to go witness about me getting scoped by my buck or one of these things. If you're going in with somebody else that's also going to witness, are you hesitant? No, you got another witness right there. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus Christ is going with you. Uh-huh. And if it's a believer, he'll be inside them going, sustained. And he'll be stamping it, notarized. Here's another one. That's crazy. There's no way impossible. Guess what happens? They walk off and he already notarized it. Have you ever had that where somebody gave you a testimony and you went, that's garbage. Then 2 weeks later, how come that thing's still floating around inside my head? Because he's in there going, you better start paying attention. Because I just showed you one of my highlight video and you... You didn't even believe it was real. And you say you love me. You say, oh, was that really you? Yes, it was me. Turn to Matthew 7. Witnessing. Testifying. He hears it. And man, if there's one thing, you know, one of the, a great thing for me to think of Matthew chapter 7. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus Christ came back and we were just bragging on him? In fact, we would probably all arguing who's going to be bragging on him. It's my turn. When's he coming? We don't know. We got about 15 minutes. Okay, you go. I want to be the one bragging on him when he comes back. I just, hey, you have that because you act out, right? I want to be witnessing. Oh, yeah, there he is. I want to be the guy on stage. No, here he comes. I want to be that guy. Wouldn't that be great when he comes back? Not, okay, his lessons turn. Oh, she gets to get there. I want to be the band before the opening act. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7.
Yes.
Nope. Sorry. It's probably the only time I wasn't going to ask for a reader. But that is funny. Be hoping, and it shall be given to you.
Yep.
Be hoping, and ye shall find.
No.
Be hoping, and it shall be opened unto you.
No.
No. Let me try it again. Be knowing, and it shall be given to you. Be understanding, and ye shall find. No. Be asking. Be asking. Well, I haven't gotten it. Have you ever, you haven't got what you want, so you want to give up on it? You're tired of making yourself vulnerable? Guilty.
No.
I don't want that. The same thing with your competition. Did you want to make yourself vulnerable? I've been there. I don't want to be vulnerable. But who are you asking? Is he going to let you down? Either he's going to fulfill what you are asking, or he's going to give you something better. And you are honoring him when you don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. And here I can see it like a knight in shining armor. And here's his princess on top of the tower. She's going, come, help me, help me. She's hanging on a ledge. She's going to fall. And he's fighting through all the trolls. And here's the goblins. And here's the giants. And he's fighting and fighting. She goes, forget about it. She lets go. And he's like, what? What? Did you see what I was doing? Oh, I wasn't worried about you. I'm thinking about me. Well, I think the same thing with us. Be asking. And if you're in fellowship, he'll tell you it's not going to happen. Is it going to be like a big scary talk when he tells you to stop asking? No. It'll be peaceful. Do you know what will happen? The desire will just dissolve. Mm-hmm. I don't care about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And what he'll do is he'll come in, it's not that big of a deal anymore. But don't give up. So this is the hopeless moment. There's no chance of survival. There's no way I can succeed. Perfect. He gets 100% of the credit. It's exactly what he's looking for. It's a be asking, but be asking. He already sees everything in secret. There is power when we release our words. It doesn't make sense. It makes faith, though. When you witness, when you stand up to do the right thing, you release your words, and everybody, Elijah, looks at you like, golly, you're not mom, you're not dad. And they look at you, and you're not getting any pats on the back. And maybe your mom or your dad aren't going to give you any pats on the back either. What's the point of doing those things? Who is watching?
Yeah.
And when you release your words, nobody do it. You're standing up for Jesus Christ. You're standing up for Yahweh, and they love it. They're listening. There's power in our words, and I can imagine when we release our words, when we release our testimonies. I see a visual of Noah in the box. Yes, it was Noah's box. An ark means box. It's not Noah's boat. Noah's in his box. What do? He released the dove. When we give up our words and release our words, it's like our prayers going out. Our testimonies going out. Something happens we don't understand, but we know what happens. It feels good. We know we're supposed to be doing it. He's telling us, keep doing it. Don't give up. We release our testimonies. We release our thankfulness. Have you ever been thankful, but you never said thank you?
Yep.
Have you been in a relationship where they look thankful, but they didn't say thank you? I've been there. I'm like, God, see, that happens again. And then I do the same thing to other people. Mm-hmm. Be thankful. And release your words. Say, thank you for this. And then speaking in tongues is gives thanks excellently. How great is that? We release our words. Mark 11, page 48.
Page 48, Mark 11. I'm going to read verse 23. Okay. I'm going to read verse 23. Mark 11, 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall hope unto this mountain.
No. Nope.
Whosoever should understand. No. Whosoever shall say, speaking to a big rock, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he hopes. No. Mm-hmm. Believe what he speaketh. Something happens when you open your mouth and you release the words. Jesus Christ got up and he told it. Jesus Christ was taking a nap. And there's a hurricane. And looks like they're getting ready to drown. And he got up and the Rotherham translates the word hush. And then, what would you do if everybody's if you're trying to take a nap? Hush! Golly! And he gets here, he goes right back to sleep. And they're like, oh my goodness, he just hushed a hurricane. What kind of man is this? He walked up to a fig tree. You're dead! Die! Oh my goodness, he's talking to a tree man. Oh my. He talked to a dead corpse. Here's Lazarus. He spoke to things. He did things very weird. And he's telling us to do the same thing. We can move mountains with our mouth. We can cast out demons by knowing it, by understanding the word. No. By speaking it. Release your words. There's a disconnect. It's like the old man inside of us. He wants to insert hope. Everywhere there is an action verb. And we're supposed to have hope. But he wants us to act on that stuff. To speak. Specifically speaking, he's hearing it. Isn't that neat? When we get to watch a movie, and they go in it, we just watch Hacksaw Ridge. And they go into they zoom into a foxhole, and here's two people building each other up. Isn't that neat? Getting to be a fly on the wall, watching, don't give up. Especially when it's a true story. Well, Jesus Christ is listening to us right now. And so as far as we know, so are the demons or whatever. Let them hear. Good. I'm going to tell you how faithful my Father is. I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back at any second now. Nobody knows when he's coming back. I'm going to go back to the Garden of Eden, the new heaven and new earth. And here are these things. I'm going to release these words. And my Father, don't tell me that he doesn't want me to have a blessed life. Don't tell me he doesn't want me to have A, B, C, D, whatever you fill in the blank. He asked his son to die on the cross for me. What's a mortgage payment? What's a pat on the back? That's nothing. Thank you, Father. And then when we speak up and we release those things, what happens? He hears it. In the beginning of Genesis, it said, Yahweh said, let there be light. That's how he started the whole thing. He spoke it into existence. And light was. And he spoke, and he released it. But when we release our words, especially our thanksgiving, something happens. And I believe that specifically this year, this Thanksgiving, if we're going to do anything, there was a festival of weeks. There was, the Jews were, like a whole week, you do nothing but rejoice. Does that sound like a mother and a father? You guys better start having a good time right now! We're at Chuck E. Cheese. You better stop fighting. Everybody get along. That's it. Here's Yahweh and his kids. 1 week, everybody gets along, nothing but rejoicing. It sounds like a father, doesn't it? That's where you want it. Well, I think this year with this Thanksgiving, release your Thanksgiving. It's not enough to go into Thanksgiving knowing, thanks for this. No. Release your Thanksgiving by giving testimonies. Do you remember that time? Oh, how about that one time? Remember when I was an infant and I was dying? I was there, but I was an infant. What was that like? What just happened? Remember that time? Remember that time? And just when we sit around this Thanksgiving, release your Thanksgiving to him. He's hearing it. How about us sitting around the table? And this Thanksgiving, this year,
amen.
All we were doing is releasing and bragging on his faithfulness. And what he has done in our life, his resumes. And imagine in this group, instead of football and these other things, which are good, we bragged on and we released our faith. And think of it just bow, bow, bow. And can you imagine how charged up we would be? What happens when you sit around in a car and all of a sudden you talk about one testimony? Once one testimony gets started, what happens? It's almost as if we feed the new man inside of us and he starts waking up. And it's almost like the new man inside us is like a hibernating bear, because Israel tells me his testimony. Then 5 minutes into it, guess what happens? I start remembering other testimonies. So I tell my testimony, then you remember a testimony, you remember, and we start feeding him, and he starts waking up. Turn to Philippians 4.
Amen.
207. It's not 207, sorry guys. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Now this isn't talking about the testimony, the witnessing. But here's the Apostle Paul, actually it's Yahweh through his son Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul writing these things. And here the Apostle Paul's writing about what somebody's faithfulness did. And he not only did it meet the Apostle Paul's needs, but he goes, you want to know what really happened with this thing? Verse 18. Esther, would you read that?
But I have all things in full and have more than enough. I am filled having welcome from Epaphras, Titus, the things that came from you, a fragrance of sweet smell, an acceptable sacrifice will please you unto Yahweh. The keep reading?
Yeah, that's good right there. another translation, an aroma, a potpourri. Their giving, their obedience. And it was what to Yahweh? An aroma, a fragrance. Imagine Thanksgiving. Can you smell turkey?
Yeah.
Can you smell the baked potatoes? How about at Christmas time? Do you smell peanut brittle or whatever? You walk in, you know exactly what's going on. What does it smell like in there? You walk in, you can smell aromas of fresh baked bread. Yahweh would have them give sacrifices of oil and grain and things. I can imagine they smell delicious. When we are obedient, Yahweh says we are an aroma. And actually, there were ascending sacrifices. And when we witness about Him, give His testimonies, it will make you more thankful. When we go give our testimonies, we put His words in our mouth and say it like you mean it. I am above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. My enemy will come away, but they're going seven, baby. Here this is. Now, if you start building, what's going to happen inside? We start charging the new man inside us. But this year, I really believe that what we could do is we could just take our testimonies and release them. And make it the most thankful Thanksgiving we ever had by witnessing, testifying, sitting around the room and challenge one another. Going to go, hey, you want to make Jesus Christ and Yahweh really happy? There's one thing about talking about the Word. We're very good at that. Challenge yourself. Five testimonies. Get five testimonies. That even makes me uncomfortable. But if it was for Him, God, I'm going to witness to five people about a miraculous thing, and He'll tell me which one to give. Oh boy, I don't know if I should give that one to Him. Yeah, give it to Him. Oh boy, here we go. You go and you start giving your testimony, and you will become a sweet savory sacrifice. Turn back to Malachi chapter 3, page 915. We're taking it. When we release our thankfulness by our testimonies. So I guess where I'm coming back to is, when you give your testimonies, you release your thankfulness. Because when I start testifying about what's happened in my life, obviously I get very excited. That's not a shock. But what happens to you when you start talking about, oh, hope was lost and I was in the pit and I had 45 bullet holes in me. My horse died on me and I pushed him off and I fell off a cliff and then I landed on top of the border but I got back up. What happens when you start giving your testimony, your story? It feels great, doesn't it? It makes you thankful. Would somebody please read Malachi 3:16? But let's take this in the spectrum of this Thanksgiving. What if this Thanksgiving? What if it's just this group? What if it's just two people? He's listening. He's listening. There was a neat thing with Eddie Murphy. He was throwing starfish into the ocean. And they keep getting washed back up on the shore. And somebody says, what's the point? They keep dying. It doesn't even matter. You threw one back and 1,000 more died. He goes, it mattered to that one. Mm-hmm. Right? That one starfish. You know, that was a kind of a neat parable. But if we're witnessing and only one person gets it, he gets it. Yeah. And we stand up for him. And then what happened? We get very, very thankful. Would somebody please read Mom, would you read Malachi 3:16-4? But we say, let this be about our Thanksgiving this year.
Well, it starts out with a faithful few and their rewards in that coming day of doom. Then they who revered Yahweh conversed one with another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard. And there was written a book of remembrance before him for them who revered Yahweh and for such as thought of his name. Therefore shall they be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in the day for which I am preparing treasure, and I will deal tenderly with them, just as a man deals tenderly with his own son who is serving him. So shall you return and see the difference between the righteous and the lawless, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not.
This Thanksgiving, let's just do a challenge. And go, I want him to hear me.
Amen.
About giving the specific things he's done for me in my life. I want him to hear me testifying what he has done for me specifically in my life. I want him to hear that. I want him to see me writing down what he has done for me. I got challenged to start writing down testimonies. I go, well, what's the point? Nobody can even read my handwriting. What's the point? I want to give up, and guess what happened? Is there anything you want from me? Write them down. Oh, I hate writing. He's watching me write them down. Go witness. What has he done for you? Tell people. Go out and reveal. Let these things loose. And watch what will happen. You will become thankful. You will transform, and you will become a living sacrifice. And then, what a great challenge for people to go, if there's one thing that people who strangers could say about you, what if it was, that was the most thankful person I've ever met in my life?
That'd be pretty nice.
Wouldn't that be neat? All they do is brag about all these things. They sound like a lunatic. And here's two believers making fun of you, but who lives inside of them? Mm-hmm. When they walk off, get done making fun of you, you'll thump them. I've been thumped, personally. That guy's crazy. All of a sudden, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm sorry. But, Father, we thank you I thank you for the believers that are here. Thank you for us being able to witness what you and your son have done. Not just like the scriptures and the passion of the Christ and what other people have done, like Smith Wigglesworth or Heidi Baker, but the specific things you've done for us, just as a husband and a wife, we're a wife and say, you remember that one thing I did for you? And she hears her husband not just talk about the one thing, but then he goes into four things. And some of the things she wondered, I thought he forgot about those things. What does it do for the wife to have her husband testify about the things she did in his life? Well, Father, we thank you for the challenge to help us witness and testify the things. And we know you live inside of us. And that as we walk out and we release our testimonies, which release the faith, that you will bring even more to the surface. And what a great thing that happened for us to be more thankful. Because your scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice always. And if we keep testifying and releasing your testimonies that are inside of us, we have no choice but to rejoice. We thank you for the words we're about to hear, according to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. So if anybody would like to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please do.
My children, put on my word and take my hand and come along, and we shall sing together and tell each other stories all day. All day long we'll just tell each other stories and sing and dance. But you have to take my hand and put on my word and come along and follow me. And then we can sing and dance and be happy. Amen.
Wala, Mashemoto Mayamo. Panakimando majama, avona, pasamacha montapoi, Panamaka Wayamo, Machina Sani Mukamayano, Bashinisimasha, Makiamai, Hunamaya Koyamai, Pushagamo. My children, there are some of you that are like gold, that are beautiful on the outside, but are soft and but are really soft. You look beautiful, but you are very soft and easy to and not strong compared to steel. My child, I want you to be like steel. Be strong in my word, not be weak and can be thank you, that we can be like steel. I want you to be like steel, not gold, and be soft, but be strong like steel in my word, and not soft like gold. Amen.
My children, you are all starfish, and I want you to try to tell them about me. But if they don't listen, you will be the one who will be saved. You will.
My children, Yahweh gave David the power to kill a lion and Goliath. What kind of power do you think he will give you? My children, if you take Yahweh's hand and walk with him, he'll give you amazing powers. Because he is our Lord and Savior. He was the one who created this. So take Yahweh's hand and walk with him, because he can give you amazing powers. Amen.
Enemia ambos kit man barakaniato man barakaniato le nenedes kidat nenedes kidat pero pichiken barakin vero pasimkio da kosmani yete. There are many, many days when you don't think of me, and there are many hours when I call out to you and you don't answer. Make these days shorter and make these hours shorter, and know that the more frequently you come to me and hear my voice, the more I can work within you to make you stronger. Don't be ashamed of doing the things that are wrong. Just try not to repeat them. And know that I'm well pleased with you, because I see each one of you individually. Never forget that. I see each one of you individually. I see your hearts. I see what's deep down in there. And I see the desires you have to become strong and become white and become like molten metal. I know that you have that desire. My desire for you, my children, is to see you reach that point.
Now your prophecy for the camera. It is time for you to walk out. It is time for you to stand up for me. It is time for you to be what I've called you to be. For I have seeds inside you that will never be satisfied until you water them and until you take your place. This world will try to distract you into different directions. It will try to force you into different molds. It will try to trim you like a bonsai tree. But I am the one that's created you for a certain purpose, and there's no one that understands you like I do. I am the only one that can give you the satisfaction and the fulfillment. And I'm the only one that really understands you. It's time for you to stand up for me and realize you got to be you. And through my word, I will show you who you are. And just as a child learns who is my father, and they start finding out what their genetics are like, so will you find out who you are when you learn who I am. And I live inside you, and we will do this together, and this life will be more satisfying than you've ever imagined. You got a small glimpse of the paradise to come, and it's called this life. It's a vapor. Let's use this wisely, and let's do it dominantly.